What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's up? What's up? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on, everyone? You got Matt or Haz bringing another episode of Tweak Talks here. Almost every week. We did miss last week. Just getting kind of crazy around the holidays. I think Charles and Gavin recorded Patreon content at 11:30 p.m. one night is like how down bad we were to get some content out the door. Yep. With the holidays and with family and, you know, different time zones and all that shit, it was tough, chat, but we're happy to be back here. Well rested after the holidays. How y'all doing? It's good to see you guys. It's been a minute. I've been busy as hell. I know you guys have been too. What's going on, Marcus? How you been?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man. Thanksgiving was chill. We hosted this year, first time hosting. We didn't have that many people, though. We didn't have that many people, so it was good. It was chill. The cooking was brutal, but I made that, bro, that teeny mac and cheese. Okay, so I don't know if you know what teeny is, but that, bro.
You too?
Bro. Wait, you made it? Did you make it?
No, but B's just been a big fan for like a long time.
So I haven't been a big fan for a long time, but that mac and cheese recipe popped up, and I was like, I mean, it looks pretty good, but I'm not going to lock in. But then like three or four people said they made it before Thanksgiving. I was like, I'm about to lock it, bro. That joint ain't no joke, man. That was very good.
She's definitely good at what she does, bro. Like,
oh, yeah.
B's been following it for a while, so I trust it.
My wife loves her too, so.
Really?
That
joint almost had me subbing. I was like, hold on, what other recipes you got? I might like it. I saw something that was like a apple crumble bread or something like that. Because I like cooking, so, and I do all the cooking in our house. So
nice.
When I see like good recipes and stuff, I saw the spicy lemon pepper wing recipe. No, I mean, all right. Anyway,
I'll send you mine. Mine is A+, bro. We've been making them every summer.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
it's the sauce. It's the sauce. I'll
send that. But I'm great. How's it going, Chuck? My bad. Food gets me hype.
Like, no, that was
great,
bro.
It's all G. yeah, I had a chill Thanksgiving. I worked, but it got a lot of stuff done. And then we had a Thanksgiving dinner, which was really cool. It's been a while since I had Thanksgiving with my family. The last time was probably 2016. And then after that, because I moved to SoCal in 2017 before Thanksgiving. So that's when I started having Thanksgiving with like my roommates and stuff with Void and all those guys. So, yeah, it was definitely a change of pace, but it was chill. It was nice. The food was good. Had like just classic turkey and all that other jazz. So how about you, Az? How's your Thanksgiving?
It was great. Unfortunately, our Thanksgiving requires a lot of driving because we do a little bit of both some time at my family's and some time at my wife's family, and we kind of split it up between driving. So it was and we got hammered by rain and snow on the drive there. So usually it's like a 3-hour drive when we leave Boston. It was like 4.5, and we saw like 7 or 8 cars off the road because it was raining and snowing so bad, and it was just terrible weather. But the driving aside, I'm not here to complain about driving. I actually love driving. The drive afterwards was very fun and great, and we took my car, so I was very excited to do that and do most of the driving, which was awesome. We had a great one, man. It's so good to see. Stuff with my family is really good right now, like my relationships in my family, and not to like get into it too much, but things have been really nice and good, and I was really happy to see. I know some of y'all, especially not just in the podcast, but some of y'all listening understand that, like, families are complicated, like they just are, and sometimes you got tough relationships in families. And all mine that have traditionally been pretty tough have been really good. And you never know what's going to happen at Thanksgiving. Who knows if that's going to stay true or not? You know, when you see each other in person, you know, keeping up on the phone's one thing, but seeing each other in person's a whole different ballgame. I'm happy to say everything went really, really, really well in some situations that in the past might not have gone well. So, yeah, I had a really good Thanksgiving. So, yeah, thanks for asking. What about you, Big Gav? It's good to see you, bro.
It's good to see y'all. It was fine. I fully get it. And it was good. It was good. No complaints. I honestly, we skipped last week's podcast. I haven't been streaming or playing Smash much. last couple of days I'm getting back to it for both of those things. But yeah, I feel refreshed. I feel like my sleep schedule got better. Saw my family. B and I have been like going crazy, like selling cards, and it's like actually really evolving, which is really cool. So I've been having a lot of fun in my different adventures, and Thanksgiving was solid. So it's good to be back though.
It is, and it kind of feels like Smash was a little bit on a pause too. Like there wasn't like a ton going on, and if anything, we actually, I think the number one thing I wanted to talk about this week was Xanadu closing, especially with Marcus on the podcast. But it's interesting because obviously you were super close to Xanadu from the very, very beginning, Marcus, and then obviously I'm sure I haven't asked Charles and Gavin this yet, but I'm sure to you Xanadu was the same as it was to me, where it was like the place to be and where you wanted to go to play and especially commentate to, Charles, to go to Xanadu. Like it was like the mecca of Smash in so many ways, really starting with PM and then moving on to the next couple titles. So I'd love to talk Xanadu for a little bit and kind of what that means for the overall landscape of Ultimate where we are today. I thought that would be good to talk about.
Y'all go first. If I start, I'm gonna be yapping for a minute.
No, but we want that. I kind of want the. What was the first time you went to Xanadu? And I mean, kind of like, I would love to go over like the history of Xanadu.
This is a Marcus heavy episode. I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, is
yeah.
it? Yeah. Oh, man, I don't remember about that. Okay. I was at the very first Xanadu event.
Dang.
Was that PM?
And it wasn't a. It was a Brawl event. It wasn't even a like Xanadu weekly yet. It was like a Saturday tournament. It was a really big tournament. A lot of the best Brawl players were there. There were like 100 something people, and it was a really tough event. It was really cool because at that time I was like 18 or something like that, maybe 19, maybe 17. I don't remember, somewhere in that range. And seeing like all the people who I looked up to when I started playing, because like all the Melee people, and there were a few established Brawl players at that time, but not too many. And MDVA Melee was pretty strong, so it was cool getting to see a lot of those players. But after that, I remember when Calvin or Gimmer and Apostle were like, hey, we're thinking about starting a series. We're gonna do it on Tuesdays every week, because they finally acquired the building, the original Xanadu building, from someone, because they were selling it, and they were like, hey, I think we can make something happen here. So it's kind of like just on a whim they decided like, hey, we're gonna do this tournament every week and stream it. And not a lot of people used to come. A lot of people don't know about like before PM, because I feel like that was the huge glow up for Xanadu and VG, but there were Brawl events every week for a few years, and they used to get like 6 entrants, you know, 7 entrants. And but we would show up, you know. It was like cool to have a tournament that for me was pretty close. So a lot of the tournaments were in Virginia at the time, and I couldn't like travel that much back then. So funny that counted as traveling. But so we would go and we would just have a good time. The tournaments wouldn't be long because there weren't a lot of people, but they were always streamed. And in fact, Seagull Joe used to win most of them. The people who won the most were Seagull Joe, Logic, and Neo. Oh, golly, that's a classic. Neo's a classic. Goodness gracious.
That, I think that transitions really well into my first Xanadu story whenever it passes to me.
Oh, yeah, it'll get to you. It should get to you pretty soon. So eventually, you know, it's just going on for some time. And I think even in one of the posts, I think like Calvin or Gimmer or Apostle say, like, they remember TK saying on stream, like, dang, Xander, you got like 10 viewers. Like, yeah, they got it like that. Like, that's how bad it was for us back then. We would show up, nobody was watching. And eventually, TK, which credits to him, he would show up every week. He would show up every week, practice his commentary. And I think that's something that people didn't get to see from TK or the EE or the Coney, like, beginning of commentary. A lot of them didn't get to see them showing up, like TK doing solo commentary every week for years and really grinding and like wondering how he got to where he was. Like, it all started back at Xanadu. And so you'll show up, we will show up. Eventually PM dropped and they were streaming it, and I didn't actually used to go to the PM events. I was like, bro, I'm playing Brawl, man. Like, Brawl's lit. Because I won my first Brawl event around the time that PM came out, which is... it took me, like, 5 years to win an actual Brawl tournament. And it was at Xanadu, the Emerald Edition. A lot of people have probably seen it. But for those who haven't, Xanadu Emerald Edition was the first tournament that I won. And... I was like, bro, I'm locked in on Brawl. I'm just going to wait for the next game to come out. But TK kept saying, bro, just try PM. Just try PM. So I tried it one time. And he was like, bro, what? How are you good at this game? You don't play it. I was like, I don't know. Like, it just makes sense to me. So I started going to Xanadu for PM kind of on a whim. And I thought that I was going to, like, do very poorly. But I think I, like, fourth at my first event. And around then, I think we were getting, like, 20 or so entrants. So... still not like a huge event, but I was like, maybe there's something there. And that's when Xanadu really started to blow up for a lot of people. You know, Coney was entering for a lot of people. Boss is probably an older name you would hear a lot. Junebug started going to events. Chill and Chew. We had a really, really strong region. Seagull was pretty good. And The events were actually enjoyable to watch. One, because there were a lot of good players, but two, this is when EE and TK, what they used to be called, really started. And let's go with that. That's what they used to be called. But a lot of people would tune in for them. You know, people don't remember this, but they used to, whenever they used to get a sub, they used to be sub hype. Like, that joint was crazy. Everybody used to lock in on sub hype.
The sub hype.
And for me, I didn't really understand what was happening, right? Because when you start something, a lot of times, especially without intention for it to become what it became, kind of like Tweet Talks, right? Like, we didn't really think it was going to become what it became.
Yeah.
We just were like, bro, let's just start talking about Smash. And then we're like, bro, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, people coming up to you, bro, I love the podcast. Like, you're getting so much recognition. Like, at that time, I was sitting there thinking to myself, dang, this is fun. I get to play some Smash every Tuesday. Like, I like playing PM. And that's all it was to me. Mm-hmm. But then when I started traveling for PM out of state, people knew who I was, and I was like, how y'all know who I am? And they're like, bro, everybody watches Xanadu.
Yeah.
Like, everybody watches Xanadu.
And the one thing I love about what you said is that, I mean, the foundation of it and the thing that people don't see is so important, and something that is not appreciated or not understood enough in Smash, because everyone just sees the final product, right? Everyone just sees Supernova, and everyone just sees all these big turn Genesis, right? It's like, oh, that's all. No, man. Everyone started as, you know, even think of the biggest streamers we have, Ludwig or whatever. They all started with very small viewership. I love that you compared it to the podcast. I love that you brought up TK, because he is someone, and we always talk about this in commentary, people who work their ass off and who have been working in the scene for a super long time. There's a reason why they have such good foundational knowledge of everything. And something about TK is I don't think he gets enough credit, to be honest. I know he gets a lot of credit, obviously. Some of the greatest, like, moments and quips and, like, lines in Smash history, dude, even at Throne, like, Leo running up and doing the Joker run, TK did that on the side. Leo saw him do it and then ran up and did it in front of everyone. Just, like, he, like, inspired that moment. So these things that, like, so Xanadu started, like you said, a passion project that turned obviously into a lot more. But the thing with it is having that foundation of just having a weekly that's established, having a Twitch channel, having mics that work, having cameras that work, knowing how to switch seat, like doing all that stuff for when not a lot of people are watching, then when a lot of people, you have an influx of people, you have that already laid down. It is so important to do that shit. Like, it can't be the longest running weekly, I think almost ever, in or most popular longest running weekly is Xanadu. And it's because of that foundational stuff, right? Because of how they started. And same with Gavin. Like, when you first started playing Smash, or any of us started playing Smash, you weren't winning brackets right away or getting top eights at Nationals and shit. Like, there's a process, and people just don't see it because they join the scene and they see you do X, Y, and Z and do all this other shit. And they don't, I don't know. Like, I feel like the process is so lost. And a part of it is the process can be gone because there are these established things in place. Like, so that you can kind of trim some of that out. I can't understate how valuable I think that is.
I think that was really well said. Yeah, my first ever tournament was for Brawl and PM. And, like, even looking before that, like, a lot of the momentum that led to the decision of me even starting to go to tournaments was stuff like Xanadu and stuff like PM even existing, because I played Brawl online competitively for a couple years, stopped playing Smash, came back to Smash. By the time I came back to Smash, Smash 4 isn't out, Brawl is dead, and I'm like confused, like, where's everyone at? I figure out about, I find PM's existence, I start watching Xanadu all the time. Like it all stems from something like that for a lot of us. And, you know, I go to Apex, which was big for my region. I'm playing Brawl in PM. I go 0-2 in Brawl. I win like 1 or 2 in PM. And then if we bridge that into my first Xanadu, it was Smash 4. Like, pretty early on, like, very, very early on. And it was just a big deal. Like, the stream was a lot fancier. Like, Price Day was just pretty grassroots, I feel like. We had some cool stuff, but, yeah. I went down there with some friends, and I won the Smash 4 bracket. I played some of the names Marcus is mentioning, which is crazy. And, you know, all the casters you were just talking about were there, and, like, it's just crazy where we are now, especially because there's different Xanadu venues, so,
mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't even the same one that some people might know of, so, you know, like, money matching people after the bracket, because, like, these are all people that have never met me before, and they want to play versus me, and I want to play with, like, new players, because, like, you know, this was a whole, like, weekend thing, like, not weekend, but this was, like, a whole, like, dedicated travel thing for me at the time. Like, getting there was difficult, like, having people from Jersey that want to drive all the way down there. And I remember the joke at the time that, like, TK made, I think, was, like, wow, like, once a week, they send a different, like, tri-state guy to, like, come win our bracket. Because, like, it was like a carpool, but, like, I was the only, like, I think at the time, I had just gotten ranked for the first time or something, right? And, like, it was tri-state, though. Like, it was a tri-state ranking, so it was, like, a top 15. And I think I was, like, in the 10 to 15 range.
Which is crazy, by the way, because Tri-State is very good.
It was.
Yeah, it was pretty good for me. So the joke was that, like, oh, like, a few weeks have went by, now they're down to, like, the lower end of the PR. but yeah, I mean, a lot of people might have learned about me. Like, a lot of people might have found me as a person through this weekly. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of people that were into Smash 4 that saw me, like, for one of the first times, if not the first time, through this local. Because I'm not going to lie, I was feeling myself a lot of the bracket. like, I was doing as much as I can to impress people. So, yeah, it's fucking wild, bro. Like, especially starting off with Marcus's experience. to this experience. Like it the timeline is adding up very well, I feel like. Like it's Marcus is there for the very first one. A few years go by, there's PM, and then Smash 4 comes out. It's just wild, bro. It's wild.
The funniest thing about you going to that Xanadu is I had work that, because sometimes I worked at Red Robin at the time. It was don't a single one of you say yum. Anyway,
great fries.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good fries. Bottomless too. Anyway,
sure. The campfire sauce, it goes crazy. I got a lot to say.
It is very good. It's very easy to make too. Anyway, all right. And I showed up actually after the bracket ended.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you had already won. I showed up after the bracket ended. And I think you money match, was it Seagull with Ike?
You remember this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, I used a different character.
Bro.
I used a different character. I am such an asshole, bro. I would do this to people very often.
You watched them. It was not close, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, who is this kid? Like, bro came down with Bowser Jr. and won. And like, you versus Neo was not close. And then I was like, oh, I mean, Joe's pretty good. And then you just watched him with Ike. And I was like, bro, who is this? And I don't think.
Didn't know of me before this?
No.
Okay. Because there was like maybe one or two possible brackets where someone might have known who I was. Because I was going to Philly tournaments. And they, dude, it was amazing. They would hype me up so much. I'm playing Bowser Jr. One of my first tournaments, I beat like Vinny and like a bunch of like Brawl vets type of stuff. So they're all hyping me up. I'm like young. Like my dad was bringing me to the tournaments. So like after one of them, I didn't even win, but everyone wanted to know about me. Like I had to make my first ever social media account after that tournament. Like, so like, yeah, this is around that like couple months, like this Xanadu. Mm-hmm.
And
is
then
that, is that when you guys first met? Like, is that the first time you guys were ever in a room?
Probably. I would assume there's no other possibility.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And
the craziest thing about it is I don't really think we spoke much. I don't think we spoke much until the next Genesis. Oh, has mentioned Genesis earlier. And I think that was Genesis 3 was the one that, because you were, somehow we got connected online and we were like kind of talking online, because I remember you thinking that Cloud was very good when Cloud first came out. And Genesis was around that time where Cloud first came out and people were like, bro, Cloud's not even that good. but I remember you went to Genesis and you had to play Como. It was like one of the saddest sets I've ever seen, because once he got the lead, he just sat on the top platform and you just lost.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm never playing Bowser Jr. again. Like, it's Cloud only. And that's what's funny is that's when it started, but that's when we really started to talk. But
I was still like, I wasn't sure what I was really doing at the time, especially cause I still wanted people to like root for me. Mm-hmm. Cause when Cloud first came out, I went to a local, I won. Everyone kind of hated me for it. So I a lot of the time I would like split up my character choices depending on the bracket or what the mood was. So like traveling all the way to Genesis, it sounds contradictory, but I felt like it was more logical to play my stupid low tier in terms of like enjoying the game and wanting people to enjoy me.
Hey.
So
I mean, you were young too at the time, so I don't fault you for having this kind of conflict.
And I was a very confident player regardless. Like I was still doing okay. I was doing well in Smash 4 with Bowser Jr. I was doing well. So yeah, like that's the mindset there. It was weird.
Sidebar, yeah. Genesis 3 crew battle was the hypest crew battle ever.
I remember that crew battle. Yeah.
That was cool.
It was cool.
That was back when crew battles didn't get like spammed, I guess. I don't know.
They're spamming it now.
The novelty hadn't worn off, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No.
The hypest crew battle, I'm pretty sure, even though I think Gavin trolled it, was the Frostbite crew battle.
Frostbite had good crew battles too.
It did. Bro, they all troll it. Don't let them lie.
Like, oh, okay. The Frostbite that Sue almost won. Yeah, that Frostbite crew battle was really good.
Yeah.
Dude, Genesis has mentioned, like, you know, starting foundations. I was actually looking it up because I was trying to figure out the Brawl tournament, the first Brawl Xanadu. Do you know the first Genesis? I don't know. You know the first Genesis only had 292 Brawl entrants and 290 Melee entrants?
Wow, that's like, a, like, exact amount for both games, which is interesting.
Like, and at the time, that was like people, like, remember Armada was coming over for the first time. Like, that was like international for us, right? Like 200, 300 entrants was international. Now we pull up the Genesis, it's like 20 different games. Like, the venue is gigantic. You have a theater on Sunday. It's like 5,000 people there. Some people don't even go to enter. They just go because it's Genesis. They're like, bro.
They didn't even know Smash was there.
I didn't even know Smash was there. Like, it's so crazy how much different it is now than when it first started. And we just thought Genesis was going to be like a pretty big tournament that happened every once in a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, Xanadu was like a small local that was going to happen for who knows how long, until the venue got shut down because we were only pulling in six people, you know? And then we started eventually, like with Gavin, people started coming from other regions. And we were like, what if we fly people out so that, one, other regions get more exposure? Because at this point, it was really only the 2GG stream, because this is around the time the 2GG started getting huge with MSM, which is Chuck's home ground, right?
Yeah.
And then Xanadu. That was it. Of like maybe 2 or 3 years in the Smash 4, maybe 2 years in the Smash 4, like tourney locator and stuff started popping up. But by this time, like 2GG and Xanadu were so established that you couldn't even run. You could not run a local on Monday or Tuesday. You couldn't. You ran a local on Monday or Tuesday,
people would rather watch. That's crazy.
Yeah, people knew, like, hey, we're not running a local on these days. Like, it has to be a different day during the week. Like, that's how big Xanadu was for the scene. And eventually, you know, it's what people know it now, right? Like, the other venue got shut down, or they didn't want to, like, repay the lease or something like that. It didn't get shut down. And, you know, with Glitch and stuff, they had some good tournament series going. And obviously they had, who, in my opinion, were no flame, no offense to anyone, they had the three best commentators in the world. So it's like,
yep,
you got the biggest stream with the biggest commentators. You want to get those moments. So people were just coming out. Like, even Gavin said it. He's like, bro, I was trying to show everything I could, like, to make me look cool. Like, I wanted to, this was my moment to show out. And yeah, it wasn't like Xanadu was a major event. It was a local happening on a Tuesday. They showed up for him and was like, it's my time.
Yeah.
Dude, it was my
time.
It was a platform. It really was the blueprint for so, like, how many weeklies popped up after that, which is great, and followed the same thing. And again, because it was just something that was created out of passion and love for the game and the scene rather than something that initially was created just to be monetized and to do stuff. It was a platform for people. It was a goal. Like, people, where the hell did you go before Xanadu if you wanted to show up and show off your gameplay? Like, was it your own local that might have a stream that runs at, you know, 1 FPS or whatever? Like, it was high quality, especially for the time. It was really well done. And like you said too, there's, you guys, four players too, you had a great player base. I knew your entire PM PR, and even the players that went like 2-2 and stuff that I rooted for, so many like fan favorite players and shit. It was like a whole culture to it, man. It was so fun. I used to speed home from work so I could go home, make dinner for myself when I was living alone and single and watching Xanadu. That was my life. I would speed home so I could make dinner and sit down and watch Xanadu, and I would stay up and watch it the entire fucking night. I don't care how tired I got. Like, it didn't matter. And it went to 1 or 2 in the morning. And then there were friendlies after too. They were like, you know, kind of Thug Final type things. And like you said, there really was something in the water near you. And a part of it obviously is having that premier local. People will drive from a little bit further to make that happen. But the idea of having Coney and TK and EE in the same venue before anybody knew their potential and what they could do is just, it's outstanding. Like, it's just ridiculous. And I know Charles obviously can speak to the same thing where I saw them doing that and I was like, that's fucking inspiring. I want to be able to do that. Like, I think that's something I could do, which got me going to my locals. And even though a lot of them were just VODs that were recorded for later and weren't live, I would get on and do some commentary, you know, kind of their style mostly at first, and then finding my own style and progressing from there.
Dude. Yeah, for sure. I think, well, my experiences with Xanadu are a lot less. I don't think I've ever gone to an actual like Xanadu local. I lived in Hawaii until 2017 and then moved to SoCal. And then even during Smash 4, I didn't really have the resources and I really wasn't that like big yet as a commentator, I would say. So a lot of tournaments wouldn't really fly me out. I just did things on the West Coast or mainly in SoCal/NorCal. I'd like take the bus and stuff up to NorCal. So it was pretty cool. But I started going to the Xanadu venue, the current one, during Ultimate and for like the Glitch series and all that other stuff, the Invitational. And I mean, they're just such a important piece to the puzzle. I mean, essentially the foundation, right? And the three best casters in Smash, like, to me, Xanadu is like such a crazy perfect storm scenario because the player base was really fun to watch. And then who would have thought the three best Smash casters are all in the same region going to the same local, and they just synergize with each other that well. Plus, they're all three of them have very different commentary styles. So it, to me, it's just, the chances of that are so slim to none, but the fact that it happened is such a perfect storm situation. So just the foundation, I will say this confidently, the foundation of Smash commentary is from that region. Just TK, EE, Coney.
It's absolutely just
like the foundation. And whenever you think of really crazy Smash events, all three of those casters will be there. Your Genesis's, your Smash Cons, stuff like that, right? Any really big invitational like Summit or Throne or, yeah, it's just, the list goes on and on, right? When you have all three of those casters, you can tell the event is very committed to making it a crazy banger event.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I don't even, somebody was saying like they looked up a set for Greninja recently, and something that popped up was my boy Techie from Smash 4 Xanadu. Like, people thought that Boss was the best player in the world. There were people out there that was like, bro, this dude is unbeatable. Like, he wins everything. He every single tournament he shows up, bro gets a dub. And if he doesn't, he gets second. Like, Xanadu felt like, for a lot of people, the whole world. And I don't know really how to express that in words. You know what I mean? Like, for outside of saying it what it was. Because it's one of those things you really had to experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, dude, it got me kind of thinking, like, when's the first time we all kind of met each other, too? Because it's kind of tied to Xanadu, because you guys, that's really where Gavin kind of showed up. And, like, you know, there are so many things that, if you looked at it, connected through Smash, are the origin is Xanadu. Yeah, dude.
Dude, actually, I feel like
such, dude, it's crazy.
It's fitting, because the reason, the first time I ever spoke to Chuck was because I had already known Void. Because Void got flown out for a glitch,
dude. Right?
Oh, is that the glitch that he won low tiers with Mewtwo?
The one he won low tiers with Mewtwo, dude.
I knew he was gonna smash.
I was raging because they took old Smash was very grimy. They wouldn't let Lucas be allowed in low tiers because I used Lucas.
That's insane.
But they let Robin and they let Mewtwo into low tiers,
dude. Well, it's kind of crazy.
Crazy.
This podcast is so ridiculous in the sense of Charles is like my main bridge to Smash digitally, because I got into Brawl through the combo videos, and then Marcus is a really important bridge to me starting to play Smash in person because of what I already explained, and it's just. I've already talked about how like crazy some of these relationships I have is, but like putting it all together is so ridiculous. And I'm very grateful. Yeah, even if we start talking about like the second Xanadu venue, because and some of like a lot of people would probably see me at those Smash 4 and Ultimate tournaments, but I wasn't living in Jersey for all of those. Like, I'm very grateful that they would be willing to get me out there even when I was living in the Midwest for a couple years. Like, and like I've just been to so many of those, whether it's like, you know, whether we're talking about Smash 4 or Ultimate. And yeah, there's just been a lot of great moments, like different games, different characters, bunch of different vibes and tournaments, and I was able to win some of them. Like, it's just, yeah, especially with some of that Smash 4 stuff and early Ultimate stuff, you just had to be there, bro.
And you got what's funny about the Smash 4 thing is Shofu used to go to Xanadu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was how you got connected to Shofu.
Yeah.
Which was a strange timeline, really.
And I think Omni, I think at one point he was at a Philly tournament, too.
I swear, bro.
There, yeah, Shofu, you know, went to Apex 2015. That's where I met Shofu.
Yeah, like stuff like
one of
that.
Shofu's friends knew one of Shofu's friends knew Void, and then we went to his hotel room and we were playing Smash. I was like, holy shit, I'm playing Smash with Shofu. This is weird. I didn't think this was gonna happen, but cool.
It's yeah, the way things like connect, and yeah, it's wild, bro.
Were we PAX?
Yeah, that's right. We met at PAX East, which is also a connection through Xanadu, because you were invited because you were winning locals and more, obviously, at that point. And then you were invited to PAX East to compete. And I went as a spectator. And yeah, that is where you and I met for sure. I remember playing board games at PAX. Yep.
I was like, did we meet before that? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we were mutuals though, because we both play Bayo.
Yeah.
Xanadu's
actually crazy. There's so much. Like, I can't even go through all of it, because the new venue, the one that we're losing now, used to have 128 man locals 2 times a week for like a year and a half straight.
That's insane. Those numbers are crazy.
There are people, and you can probably guess who they are because they were in grand finals every single week, and they have played each other at least 300 times. Like, actually, you can look it up. I think it's like they're like verified, like 200 something Smash or Ultimate sets alone, but not including Smash 4. So I think they've played each other over 300 times, ZD and Dexter. They went, the amount of money that they made was out of, they told me, I'm not going to disclose it to you all, but
that's on the Patreon episode.
They used to lock in, and I was like, golly, that must have been nice. Cause I was struggling at Ultimate until, you know, DLC, that's me. DLC, man.
I see a trend.
Byleth.
I see a trend. Now Midman,
let's lock it in.
Carried. See, I'm only base roster, but I
same, Chuck.
But yeah, me too.
Okay, buddy. Yeah,
true.
I am only base roster, bro.
Yeah, well, you had that Joker phase. That was like a week or two.
You had an Aegis phase. You had a Sephiroth phase.
These are all to prove points, except Sephiroth.
I was going to say Sephiroth, yeah.
These were all to prove points.
But you picked the wrong DLC is the problem.
Yeah. What do you like? Sephiroth doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's worse than the base game.
Are we gonna? Never mind. Anyway,
he's a
brawl. I have one like wish for Gavin, but it's whatever. It's just something that I wish would happen. That's not gonna happen. Yeah, man. Xanadu's cool.
Are y'all going to the last Xanadu?
I really wanted to.
Maybe we could plan something. Maybe we could plan something.
Too much.
It'd be nice to go one last time, bro. And I don't know. I'm definitely friendly with Gimmer, and I like the guy, but we don't like talk that much. I have no idea. I'm not like putting it, but I wouldn't be surprised if something took its place, especially when the next Smash game came out. Like, the marketing's too good. Like, it just makes a ton of sense. I think even if they're just like on like a hiatus or something, that would make sense to me. And I'm just like, tinfoil hatting here and maybe a little copium because maybe it's just dead and I'm sad because it was something that was so important. But like, it's such an important, I mean, it's similar to like when Apex was gone and then it got brought back because it was just that important to being foundational to Smash. Like it just kind of was, and that's the same team. And they're really savvy and smart and understand the value of what they have. Again, I have no idea. I'm just like throwing out my tinfoil hat and really hoping Xanadu isn't dead forever. Cause I think it just ties to like this, not just Xanadu, but I think it ties to this bigger picture of what the scene is like right now. And a lot of it is online play, which is great. I like online play. I think it's a great place to get better. But as we know, what everyone really values is offline tournaments. And without, you know, the pipeline that's so important is having a good local and having a good foundation for locals, which gives you good foundational for regionals, which improves your player base, your TOs, your casters, and then up to that major level, which I saw firsthand as someone who is in on the foundational level at Shine in New England in Smash 4 and going into Ultimate and how that grew and who that came from and how that all worked. And Xanadu's like a bigger imagining of that because they hosted huge regionals and obviously started SmashCon and into Supernova, which brings another really important point into this is that without Xanadu, I wouldn't have a Smashy. So like, that's also really important, obviously, to the greater scene at large. Right.
I can't believe it.
Not bad, right? I've been sitting on that for a little bit, Marcus. I was waiting.
Yeah.
That was really impressive.
That was pretty good, right?
I got to give it up.
Thank you.
Don't worry. I talked to Gimmer. He told me what's up with Xanadu in the future. I'll reveal it in the Patreon content. So if you guys do want to know what's up with Xanadu in the future, make sure to sub to the Patreon.
I like this new bit with the Patreon where we just say secrets.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't yeah. Worry. Any last thoughts here, Gav, about Xanadu and anything else?
I mean, I don't want to get too sappy, but I mean, I'm just grateful for all the opportunities I've had. I'm grateful about all the various ways all this stuff has brought us together. Thank you guys for supporting the Smash and the podcast and Xanadu and everything for all these years. And bro, just like when you got something going, bro, like appreciate it. Like seriously, like my memory isn't too good and I'm like sad about that. Cause like some of these reminders really get me thinking, like bro, just appreciate the situations you have with these communities. Cause things can go in a heartbeat. But yeah, thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up. I hope everyone has a good one. Support the Patreon if you'd like. We do a lot of bonus content. We do a couple different types of content as well. And yeah, have a good one. Peace out.
Wait, tell them what the content is. What are we recording?
Well,
great message, Chuck. Don't interrupt. That was a great way to end it.
Y'all are asking about a Smash 4 tier list. I guess we're talking about nostalgic stuff lately, so we might as well. Charles and I did some stuff one-on-one, and we mentioned it at one point, and the comments were really down. So next thing you probably see on the Patreon will be a Smash 4 tier list, which is not going to be nearly as hard to make as Ultimate. So yeah, have a good one. Sure. Thank you.